Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
ooh, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh,
and I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, today, today.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord for another exciting day. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Praise his name, praise his name, praise his name. Hallelujah. Amen. You now have evidence. If you were here last week and you here this week, the devil can't stop you, and God is for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Giving honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. Amen. And the Father, Lord God, Jehovah. Amen. And blessed Holy Ghost. And I thank God for all the angels that we put to work, and they're doing their thing. Amen. To Pastor O, my producer, and his lovely wife. Amen. And the Runner for Christ Ministries. Amen. And Renaissance Christian Center and all the different saints here all over the world, and I say praise the Lord. Amen. Let us go right before the throne of grace, because I want to get started into this. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you and bless you because of you. We live and move and have our very being because of you. We have the light of your word. Because of you, we have the life that we have. Because of you, that despite all that is going on in the world, we can look forward with hope and joy because we know that our redemption draws near, that we are about to become face to face with a reality that is far beyond what we could ever think or imagine. But we thank you for it, Lord, because without you being so merciful and so kind and so loving, it would be impossible for us to know you. But you said, no man come except you draw him, and we thank you that you chose us and blessed us to even hear your call. Father God, we're asking right now that you bless us with the spirit of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will know more what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in us, and the great and exceeding power you have made available for those of us that submit and obey you, Lord. Strengthen with might those in the inner man, Lord, that are facing the many challenges that we are going through these days. Amen. Bless us, Lord, with the knowledge of your will. Give us the strength and the courage to carry it out. Bless us to be fruitful in every good, so that we will be fruitful in every good work. And bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask that you would bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people. I want it to be all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You know, at the heart of today's message, we are still continuing on spiritual warfare. I mean, when you think about the fact that you're warfare, you probably should ask the question, or I did, what are we fighting for? You are fighting for your eternal life and an eternal life in happiness, because everybody is not going to receive that. Every adult, that is, you know, children, amen. And I want to speak to those of you that have lost children. Keep the faith. Make your journey to this end. Receive Jesus and make it to the end. Amen. You know, I remember this man of God. Several people have gone on to heaven and come back. You know, God took them on a tour. Angels took them on. God had angels take them on tours. And, you know, one of the things that caught my attention was children. And I would have thought that it would be all adults over there. I used to think until then that once a child left here, if they was deceased, they became an adult. And then they finished their education over there. But in the case of people that have lost children, you know, when the question was asked, why God, why the children? Because when their parents get there, they'll be allowed to grow up with them. Ain't God good? Who wouldn't serve a God like this? Amen. But bless his name. Hallelujah. We're going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're talking about spiritual warfare. That's our base scripture for this particular session. And the warfare, again, is you got to think, you got to put the whole piece. Let me put some more pieces to the puzzle. You know, none of us asked to come here, and I get that, okay? I posed that to God myself years ago. You know, when I was going through some struggles, you're going to go through, and I'm like, you know, and I got upset. I'm like, okay, like, I ain't even asked to come here. You know, why I got to go through all this? Well, see, his response was, you here now? You got to deal with it. And the only way to deal with it is to deal with it his way so that you can be victorious. It was God's intention for us to be here. Nobody is here that he didn't intend to be here. Now, is it because we were made, pastor, to think as an individual? See, that's part of the status of being a spirit man / God, small g, man. He knew that because when he knew in the process of creation, he knew that we were going to be a different type of character, different than angels. We form our own opinions and our own thoughts. But he want us to be understand that the fact that we are here, the fact that we didn't ask to come, this does not exempt us from the consequences if we fail to choose his way. It is what it is. I mean, it's like a law of matter. It's like laws of matter is no matter what, you can burn up some wood, but you still have the residue from the wood. Okay, you had the ashes, and they won't go away. They can shrink inside, but they will not go away. That's the laws of matter. Everything that is. It may change form, but it still is. Okay, so when you look at in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, you see something marvelous, so marvelous. I mean, look at yourself in the mirror and then imagine that. I mean, the reality of that becoming flesh. Look, grab some dirt sometime and look at it and think about what it took to take some common dirt. There wasn't nothing special about that dirt. I've heard people try it. Dirt is dirt. I don't care what color you wanted. It was red dirt. It was green dirt. I don't care what kind of dirt it was. It was dirt. It was a bunch of little dirty molecules that they didn't have no flesh. Wasn't no heart in that dirt. God's creative capability was in that spirit that Adam, when he breathed it into that soul, that went with it. And that's what we spend our lives learning how to manage. See, we you get these revelations by asking God about it. I mean, it's simple. I mean, when you look back in history and you see how they missed it, misunderstood it, and they had this information. Imagine now get this now. Adam was the man. You know, you would have thought, well, like, wait a minute, you know. But see, when his mind went to working, he didn't have the knowledge that he was dirt. You know, I mean, he was probably shot when Cain or Abel died, even though Cain killed him. You know, that's like, wait a minute, man, what's up with this? Is the batteries down or something? What? You know, it's a process. You know, I mean, that's the only evolution I agree with is the evolution of man's in the area of revelation of how God functions and how we function in relation to God. It's all in the Bible. The issue is a lot of people, for whatever reason, well, we're going to talk about the reason today, haven't read it. Because today we're going to talk about what is called pride. I call it pride, the faith killer. Because all the way throughout history, that's wherever you found, where this trouble started. It started in the book of, if you looked at in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, when Satan got kicked out, it was Lucifer then. And he got kicked out of heaven. And that's where, you know, and that's where the trouble started. See, pride, as it is written, it is called arrogancy. It's presumptuous. You know, it's where, you know, in the Hebrew, it's a word called zadon, if you're interested in Hebrew. But that's just, I mentioned that because the original Bible, the Old Testament, was written in Hebrew. So, and the word that it describes is basically what you're saying is, I'm either above God or equal to God. And that ain't the case. The simple fact that you didn't pick your birthday and you don't know when you're going to die should settle the issue that you're not God. But people tend to act like that. I mean, you got institutions that are carrying on the same ignorance that was going on years ago, decades ago. Matter of fact, let's read here in the book of Corinthians. Verse 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, again, the warfare is over your soul. The challenges that are going to be presented to you come from Satan, because he wants you in his army. There's only two places. There's no third thought. You don't get an independence. There are no other gods. There's one God. Anything outside of God is demonic, period. Now, as I said last week, this particular group of people, the Corinthians, were polytheists. They believed in multiple gods. You know, they were Greek. And when you look historically, that's where you get all this demonic delusion that Satan had provoked, where he brought forth the delusion of Zeus and all these. Matter of fact, one of the premier gods, which would probably be very popular today, was Aphrodite, which, you know, they had what they call sacred prostitutes. First time I had learned that term was when I was doing a study on Abraham. He came from such a culture. And so you see, despite the difference of the time, Abraham go all the way back to almost his family. You know, they go back to Noah, really. I mean, but somewhere between Noah and Abraham, Satan slipped up in there, found somebody that would listen to him. Now, the person that listened to him, what he searched for is a person that's trying to find a way out, trying to find their own way, trying to be their own person and not be God's person. Because that's how Satan thinks. That's how he got kicked out. I got a series of CDs of messages on my website and on YouTube, same thing, why God let the devil exist. And then I get into where this dude come from, how he come into play, why is he in it, why would God let him? Because the point of the matter is, you got to think on an eternal level. You can't think on the here and now. You got to think on this. This is just preparation to get you to the next stage. If you don't make the next stage, it really is a horrifying situation. I mean, it is what it is. Like I said, you know, you can't go back. You can't climb back up in your mama's womb. You can't change your mind. You're here now. Everybody feel the same way. We would all love to do some things our way. But I want to read a scripture that really brings out the danger of pride, and that's in Proverbs chapter 16. You've heard it a lot. Well, I've heard it a lot. It says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, there's so many ways I can go with this, you know. Let's start with the key character that started this mess, okay? Because the reason I point this out is because if you link up your thinking, if your thinking follows Satan's thinking, it's obvious that you're following Satan. You may think you're doing your own thing. No, you're doing his thing. You don't have an own thing. It's either God's way or the devil's way. Now, and because, see, God can't lie. God can't scheme, scam, trick, nothing. It's okay. Whatever word he utter, that becomes the reality. So if he uttered something that was different, it would change throughout the universe. It would change throughout time. It would be different. So for us to understand this deception that Satan perpetrates, and for us not to, as individuals, engage in such activity, we have to understand the source of it and the motive behind it, which is, again, being independent from God. God is thinking on terms of he's expanding the universe at 186,000 miles per hour at the speed of light. He's not doing that because he's bored. He has every intention of expanding. Right now, the saints, it's my impression. This is my own imagination. Because when you lead a body, you don't have the restrictions that you have now. And because you ain't no retards in heaven. Just like ain't no atheists in hell. Ain't no retards in heaven. So ain't nobody going to act up. But them being able to explore your grandparents and uncles and aunties that have passed on, have the ability to explore God's universe, that only going to make them worship him more, because they're seeing things that we haven't even seen, we can't even imagine. They've probably been, you know, I always wonder what's at the bottom of the ocean. Every now and then something comes up from the bottom of the ocean that's never been seen before, and they manage to get a picture of it. Some type of creature that they can't comprehend, you know. We don't know the end of this, but the point of the matter is, and then there's the power effect. We don't, the magnitude of the power that God gives a person, I don't think, you think about it, open and close your hand. That takes a high level of intelligence. You know, it's ironic, not too long ago, I met a robotic engineer. He said his job, sadly, is to kill some of the jobs at Amazon, so y'all need to be aware of that. But the fact of the matter is of what it takes to program a piece of equipment to do what a human does. It's a lot of signals that have to, you open and close your hand, there's 10 million signals to billions of cells. You got to look up on the internet a picture of skin cells. I mean, it's fantastic. Bone cells, marrow cells, everything is cells, and inside the cells are cells, and inside the cells are cells, and I mean, it's just tremendous. But you command that. Now, when you come out of your body, it's another whole realm. Again, Jesus, when he came back to visit the disciples, he visited them, I believe it's John 20:26, he just appeared. But you got to understand how everything works in the universe to see that that is some tremendous power. And in the wrong hands of a person not submissive to God, that can be a very destructive power. Look, we could have nuclear energy. Was originally the thought behind it was we would have enough energy and everybody had heated homes and it wouldn't cost them nothing. But greed has set in. And so they charge us for something that should be free. You know, I mean, it's just amazing. And seeing those are the things that manifest with the spirit of pride. Look at some of the things that the Lord say about pride. What's going to happen with that thing? Remember Proverbs 16:18, it says it goes before destruction. That's, you know what? if you look up what's in the world on YouTube, you'll see a lot of people getting flooded. Pride will stop people from going to God. I don't need God. Yes, you do. You don't know what the next 10 minutes going to have. You think you got control. You don't have no control. You go to sleep at night. You don't even know if you're going to wake up in the morning. I don't understand this level of stupidity. Well, I do. I do. They don't know God. And the deep part is they don't know God because nobody around them is praying for them, because there's only one royal priesthood that can do that. That's the body of Christ. Or they've been rejecting. You reject God after several times, he'll let you go on your way. Because he's going to have a record. You will have a hearing. All the hearings that of people that flunk, it's called the white throne judgment. That's in the end of chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. You need to read the consequence of that, because in the next chapter is what happened to folk that accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. All right, Proverbs 10:2. It said, the wicked in his pride do persecute the poor. So let them be taken in the devices they haven't imagined. I mean, in other words, it's going to come back. You know what they have, with their phrase, what goes around comes around. See, you're not going to mistreat people and not have to pay for it. Right now, I don't know if y'all noticed it, but it's been a worldwide strike declared against the billionaires, these billion-dollar companies that have been underpaying people, that have been basically taking monies that they should have been paying them. They don't need that money. It ain't theirs. You can go to any funeral, anytime. You'll never see a Hertz rental car or a truck or something that's going to take that stuff with them. Everybody leave. They don't even take your body. You leave here, you don't even take your body with that. That don't belong to you. Your soul don't even belong to you. The Lord, the word says all souls belong to God. All right? It says, when pride cometh, Proverbs 11:2. It said, when pride comes. Okay. When pride comes. You notice you don't find children with that problem. They have to become adults before they start acting ignorant. take note of children. You know? I mean, so when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the lowly, with the lowly is wisdom. The lowly is the person that say, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to go unless you go. I don't want to go left unless you go left. I don't want to go right unless you go right. See, Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, in all your ways, all your ways. You know, today I was doing a stock trade, and I have to see certain conditions. Even though it's called day trading, I don't trade every day. But it's certain conditions that I know, and even then, it's subject to change. I mean, some politician or somebody could do something, the weather, any event could change it. The only person that knows beyond what we know is God. So, but again, the process is for us to develop a relationship with him so that he would guide us. He would prevent danger. A lot of times, you know, this is why when people say, some told me to turn right, and I turned right, and then I found out yesterday they had a major accident. If I'd have kept going, I'd have been part of the accident. I know that from experience, okay? And it ain't no something that's a someone. Something, well, I don't know. You got Alexa now. So if it wasn't Alexa, it's the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right. Now, I mean, the Bible, if you cross-reference, you download a Bible and you cross-reference the word pride, you won't find no good. You will never, and this is another thing you got to avoid, and I thank you, Holy Ghost, that I didn't forget that. Don't think of the majority of people think a certain way that that's the right way. Because Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, he said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there go at that way. Many go that way. Say, but narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting. Okay? Leadeth to righteousness. And few there be. So the minority is where you want to go, and the tighter the minority. See, listen, yeah, Yeah, it's a tight life. Yeah, you don't get to do everything you think you want to do. Well, you can, but you have to learn the process, okay? And if you submit unto God, Psalm 37:4 is the promise. He said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll show you how to get them. He's showing me how to get something I want right now. Matter of fact, he spoke a word to me, amen, this morning when I was praying. That's another reason why you want to pray when it's just you and God. He'll share some things. He said he's going to open up a door that's been blocked for me. I just had to wait and see what that is, because there's a lot of doors I've been running into. But I have motive. Now, I understand my motive for wanting to go through specific doors isn't just for me. I got what I need. More and getting more, but I'm looking at God's ministry worldwide. So there's some other things going on here that we're talking about, folk. You know, I'm telling you that this is another thing about pride. Look at what people do with money. We just saw a former celebrity now going to prison. Why? Pride. Some pride make you something to brag to man. Okay, said pride. Well, we did that one. It said proud in the heart. Proverbs 21:24. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. You know, people's attitudes and what comes out of their mouth and how they treat people. All that is pride is a way of saying absence of God. Okay, this one I'm looking for here. I missed it. The verse 8, Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord, okay, the reverence, the respect of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Okay? Now, this was written. Now, mind you, Solomon wrote these. This is what I believe. This from what I've been told and taught, you know. But he spent time with God getting these revelations. Mind you, when he was writing these, he didn't have Dixon Bible bookstore. He couldn't download a Bible. He was getting his hot off the press from God himself. See? And, you know, and back then, some people, the Holy Spirit would come up on people. And when the Spirit of God come upon you, believe me, more revelation always comes. This is the part, this is just an FYI here. People talk about going to church, and people want to know why you praise God. And why? Because Ephesians 5:18 say, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Capital S, Spirit. What Spirit? Spirit of God. So when you're praising God, there's an exchange going on. So when Solomon spend time with God, there's an exchange going on. And I'm pretty sure, because the pattern is still the same today, before I do my intercessory prayer in the morning, I always start out praising God. Because you know what? You can be tired and just can't get going. And when you start singing of the goodness of God, when you start singing about God, you start to wake up and you start to feel joy, and then you feel like praying then. And then that anointing, which is additional power, a boost from heaven, come on you to get you through it, and you pray on through it. It's amazing how it leaves when you get through. But see, there's an atmosphere. But a proud person is never going to experience that. I see people, I'll be in church, and I'll be looking around because I have a certain position where sometimes I'll be up on the stage because we have to look. It's sad in the church in these days, but this ain't new. It's just, you have to look for threats, okay? We have to be aware of them, all right? And I see people when they standing there with their mouth closed. Why would they? I can't get that. If you made it to church, that's a reason to praise God. I don't care if your bill's overdue because you ain't spending enough time with God. That's why. You're not doing what he say do, how he say do, where he say do. You haven't tuned in to him. And if you're new to Christ, that's because you was without him. But he can fix that. You should praise him based on the fact that he will fix that. It ain't you going to wait to see if he going to fix it, then you going to praise him. No. That ain't faith. That ain't how this works. pride stop people from, like I said, pride is a faith killer. Pride, like I said, goes before destruction. People go to jail. I worked in the jail 30 years on and off. I spent probably more time in jail than most criminals did, but I was working there. But they were all there for, all the guilty people were there because of pride. All there. They didn't want to do God's will. They didn't want to do it their way. They wanted to go their way, and that was the end. It ends that way. You can't do wrong all the time and it turn out right. It's just, even this government, this country, this world is experiencing that. Okay, so you want to do that. Matter of fact, while we on government, did I finish my thought? I want to make sure I got all that. Where we at? Proverbs chapter 16. Okay, pride goes before destruction. See, I'm trying not to rush through this because I got a lot here. Because this thing with pride, like I said, this is where there's the absence of God. You know, matter of fact, I didn't finish it. One of the things I wanted to bring out was it talked about in Proverbs 8:13 with the froward mouth. Now, I realize we have freedom of speech. And see, and that's the thing. I'm talking about people in a relationship with God. If you just started. Now, you got to understand that speaking, what comes out of your mouth is the building blocks of your life. And Satan loves to get you to put dirt in your life, to put poison in your life. He understands. He's had 6,000 years to study this. So he know that if he can get us to speak against ourselves, it's self-destructive, passive suicidal behavior. All right? The froward mouth, like, you know, it's amazing. I don't hear a lot of people use profanity these days, but then I don't dwell around a lot of people. That's another thing. This is cultural. Back during the time when Paul was speaking, I mean, it was easy to identify who was what. I mean, it's amazing how it became second nature to me so easily. Because, a lot of times people use profanity, and then they'll remember who I am, what I stand for, and then they'll apologize. And in my mind, I'm going, well, you know what, that's on you. That word going to affect your life, and it might affect God, but I could care less. Because, see, they're not mindful of God. That's all. That's what it is. And I mean, it could happen. I remember getting angry once, and I said something that was dirty, you know. But it was a flash. It usually will happen under what this woman of God say is a stack attack. You get hit all kinds of ways, and you just, like, full, and you just like, but you know why you be full? Because you don't empty it out on the throne. That's what happened. And I can remember back at that particular time. Now, not mind you, I probably only missed one day of prayer. See, that's another thing about praying. See, people knock pride. When it comes to speaking in tongues, pride stopped 90% of Christians from speaking in tongues, praying in tongues. I have never, and somebody could tell me I'm wrong. I've sent me an email, 7trainingday@gmail.com, and tell me you prayed and asked God about speaking in tongues, and he told you it stopped. And then he going to give you two scriptures. If God gave you that, he going to give you two scriptures saying that it stopped. Okay, and if you ain't got two scriptures, not one, two, two scriptures saying that it stopped, then that's between you. But I tell you what, you don't have no way to empty. No, I take that back. You do have a way to empty out, and that's worship, praise and worship, praise and worship. But there's a different level when it comes to praying in the spirit. You can't pray for folks. You can pray for the people in China, God, but the Holy Ghost can get specific. See, the Holy Ghost, see, that's another area. See, he is doing, that's one prayer that is totally submissive to God. You don't have a clue who you're talking about, okay? You can direct it, because you can, in the inside, when you're praying in the spirit, you can think in English. That's one of the few times you can be saying something that out of your mouth that's different from when you thinking in your head. Only other time that I can think of that occurs when a person is prophesying, because that's the Holy Spirit again speaking, and your mind be disconnected from it. Matter of fact, Pennsylvania State of Pennsylvania, University of Pennsylvania, I believe, or Penn State, one of the two, did some research. They attacked some probes to the brain of a Christian, and how as they were praying in tongues, the frontal lobe, which controlled the speech, was silent. That's documented now. That's fact. You can even look it up on the internet. That's fact. So the part of the brain that controlled the speech wasn't active, but they were speaking. Now, run and tell that. Just listen, we're dealing with a God that don't have a birthday, that's omnipotent, omnipresent. I mean, this whole thing, think about it. When he put that breath into Adam, he released that. It became a separate person that created all the organs you have now, every part of it that functioned, and his functioned perfectly. There was no pollution back then. Immediately. Think about that. I mean, come on. Anybody seen the Frankenstein movie? That'll tell you how complicated that process is. And you, that person. And the Holy Spirit is a booster. Greater power. Greater power. That's God. Listen. Now, again, send me an email if you can find somewhere in the Word to say that the Holy Spirit is a lesser power. These three are one. That's what my Bible say. Listen, come on. Now, that's me giving you a nuclear bomb with the trigger. I have to know that you're going to pull the trigger at the right time, at the right place. This is what God is talking about. You got to look at the whole picture. You got to look at the whole picture. We're going to interact, okay, with the survivors of the tribulation period. We have been changed like Jesus, 1 John 3:2. We shall be as he is, but we're going to interact with regular humans. So God cannot afford to let somebody whose pride, arrogancy, have that power and be amongst those people. They're going to be the people that see the universe. I don't see nothing else different than the Bible. My God could add another chapter, but he ain't going to do it now. I mean, look at the whole picture. Look at the whole picture. All right. It's a process, you know. You learn it, but you cannot learn it if you don't read the Word. Because God is not going to, listen, if you're not making an effort, he's not going to make an effort. He's going to meet you where you are, see. And that's how this thing works. I didn't just become this way. I had to decide. I had to reach a state where I said, okay, God, I'm going to do it your way, because I done tried dumb and it ain't working. Okay? But now, I want to look at one particular person. There's a lot of them in the Bible, but this is the one that the Lord gave me. And that is 2 Kings chapter 20. And this is a man named Jehoshaphat. He's a good guy, you know, to the most part. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 12 through 21. But it's about, I take that back. It's Hezekiah. All right, let me draw you a picture for those of you. Hezekiah was about to leave and go to heaven. Something he should have did. I don't know. This is where we get the process, and not only that, it's not only this, but people don't die without knowing you're going to die. You get your time. It says, Hezekiah, 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. Let me give you a picture so you'll know what's going on. In those days, Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and said, this is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you're going to die. You will not recover. All right. Now, you know, it'd be different if you was going to hell. You know, I don't even know. I don't remember them discussing hell back then. But he was going to he was going to go to the next level. He was going to go where everybody else went. He was going to go to paradise. All right? That was just advance notice to put things in order. This is why you find people get their will in order and get their things. I've known many people over the years that knew they were going to leave. Matter of fact, my mentor told me when he was leaving, you know, I wanted him to stay just two more years just so he can get that title 100, but he didn't, you know, so he left. And I mean, man, I'll see him again. I'll see my mother again, my father again, and a whole lot of other folks, my grandfather. I'm looking forward to that. But anyway, so Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, all right? And as a result, God gave him 15 more years of life. All right, now we drop down to verse 12, okay? And this is where the trouble began. Now, see, he should have left. See, sometimes we stay longer than we should. It says, at the time, Merodach-Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent Hezekiah letters and a gift because he had heard of his illness. And Hezekiah received the messengers and showed them. He received the messengers and showed them all that was in his storehouses, the silver, the gold, the spices, and the fine oil, and the armory, and the fine, everything that was found in his treasure. And there was nothing in his palace nor in his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and asked, what did those men say and where did they come from? From a distant land, Hezekiah replied. They came from Babylon. Now, I understand that Babylon, Hezekiah is the king of Israel that believed in the true and the living God. The Babylonians, however, were polytheists. They believed in the more than one God. They believed in some men were God, even kings were gods. They were total. So you got Gentiles and believers together, or Gentiles. And Israel and Jews are different. Judah, Jews, y'all had to follow my brother's teaching. He'll teach you all that. RFCM.org, he got a lot of Bible classes on that issue. Very well taught. Anyway, okay, they came from a distant land. The prophet asked, now the prophet is the man of God that God speaks to. And there are still prophets today, you know, in Ephesians 4:11. I can't understand why a person to call himself a man of God would say there are no more prophets than the Bible said. And he gave some prophets and apostles and pastors. They know it's pastors, but they'll say it ain't no apostles and prophets. How you going to separate one out of the group? Anyway, see, this is why you got to, this is another reason you got to see God. Pride. Pride makes a man say something that's stupid. Pride will make a man teach that you pray to somebody other than God. Pride brings about all these strange doctrines, and they all conceived by Satan. His master, he's a master at deception, and he has to find a proud person in order to deceive him. Somebody that don't want to listen to God. You can't tell me you're going to God. See, if you go to God with a prejudice made up mind, see, these folks probably pray a little bit. But if you're going there and you'd already decided in your mind what you're going to believe, God ain't going to say a word. He will let you go on your merry way. He will let you fall into destruction. Don't even think he will stop you. I'm trying to tell you. This is what. See, we're coming into it. We are in the period of time. And I've heard, God, when men of God, women of God keep saying the same thing, that's the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, Jesus, and the Father never separated in their speech. They're all on one accord, all the time, 100% of the time. 724, 365, 366, whenever, they never separate. When they all start saying you need to be specific in how you living, specific in how you praying, specific in how you walking, specific in how you giving, you need to be doing it. I'm doing it. All right, let's get back to this story here. So bottom line is, okay, so Hezekiah then had these Gentiles came, okay, and now, this is another word for him. I just can't think of it at the right time. Okay. It said, the time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left. And that did actually happen. All right. All right. Bottom line is this. Now, this is, it's interesting. Now, I was briefing through some commentaries just to see what their thoughts was on that. And the reason for that is because, again, you have the same Holy Spirit throughout history. And we think in alignment because we think in alignment with God. Now, the issue here is pride. Now, and I like what Matthew Henry, Matthew Henry existed around 1700s, and this is what he said. This is some of the things he said. Talking about Hezekiah, it is not said that he showed them the temple, the book of the law, and the manner of his worship, that he might proselyte them to the true religion, which he now had a fair opportunity of doing. See, that's the thing. Hezekiah showed him everything but the house of God. He showed him everything but the things of God. He didn't make an attempt to share God. Now, and I want to read this last statement before I go on to what Jesus said. It says, what harm was there in this? What is more commonly, as we think, more innocently done than to show strangers the riches and rarities of a country, to show our friends our houses and our furnitures, and to show the thing that God then blesses with, basically, the stables, the library. But if we do this in the pride of our hearts, as Hezekiah did, to gain applause from men, and that's what motivates pride. People have replaced God with men. What other people think, people that don't meet your need, people that can't heal you, can't bless you, may not even come help you change the flat tire. It says, to gain applause from men and not giving praise to God, it turns into sin, as it did to him. That's the problem. This is why you hear people always, you see them on Facebook, I thank God. They thank God for another day. Yes! Yes, we didn't. You can't buy a day. You can't buy a heartbeat. You can. If well, they don't. I don't know if they there. They still print newspaper, but the obituaries is never vacant. And the obituaries, now personally, that ain't a real problem unless you're not saved. You know, I mean, you gotta go. You gotta go, but go with Jesus. You know. All right. Now, let's Jesus, Matthew 10:34. Now, so you get his expose on the issue, because it's becoming now. Because I mean, you're going to. I just heard a message on the fact that nope, that's not what I want, but it is part of what I. Give me a minute here. Okay. Hallelujah. Too many notes. All right. Well, bottom line is, I know this verbatim. And Jesus said, oh, wait a minute, he said broad is the way. Yes. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I was in the right area. I was right there. I was right there. He said, whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Now, you think about what that means. Because we are in a time period. Now, see, and here they might call you a name, or they might criticize you, talking about you still believing that ain't what they call it, ancient myth. Yes, I do. You still believe that man accidentally appeared? I mean, really? You think man came from a fish to an ape to a man when DNA tests show that that's not possible, and you haven't seen a repeat of that? You think life an accident? That right there, what you get, what they teach in the university, there's no God, that's pride at the max. And it's really, I imagine every time Satan sees somebody pick up on that teaching, he rolling on his side laughing at how stupid they are. That's the level, that's the epitome. Come on, now it's not possible for me to eat some food and it accidentally go to the specific cell it's designed to go to give me what I need to sustain my life. You can't tell me that's an accident? Your spirit man does that, conducts it. If you want proof, go to a morgue. I've been there. You can put a sandwich on their nose. You can pump some fluid down in them, and it will not digest. It won't digest. They won't chew it. It will not break down. That's all handled by your spirit. The body ain't doing that. Your spirit is doing that. It came from the creation when God made Adam. It extended down through to you. Now you have the Holy Spirit, which is God's spirit. Spirit of man, spirit of God. Two different spirits. I'm telling you, it's more than what you can imagine. More than what you can imagine. But you see what I'm here? Now, so this denial, and because it's becoming critical. In other countries right now, they're still cutting off Christians' head. I just heard a commentary. Somebody, they had received a letter from somebody that's over there in Kabul, and they were saying that within 2 weeks, they was praising God because within 2 weeks, they'll be dead. They're not even worried about it. You know, they're just waiting. But I pray for them. I wish I knew their name, so because specific prayer gets much more specific answers. But the fact of the matter is, you know, that's going to happen. There's an expectation. You can see what's happening. I mean, I've been on this planet 70 years, and I've never seen the outspokenness against Christianity that you see now. And it is on the increase. You know, in the Middle East, they're cutting off. They showed that video where they was cutting off them folks' heads. They even cut off a little boy's head. He would not deny Jesus. I mean, this is not the first time it's happened. And it's going to get escalated. I'm personally waiting to try something out of the spiritual realm. You know, the Lord told me to hold off on teaching it. But I can tell you, if you want to seek it out, it's called the prayer of imprecation. I-M-P-R-E-C-A-T-I-O-N. Okay? But I can't give you all the details on it. You had to get that from God. Because one thing about it, you have to be at a specific spiritual level. The spiritual level, I'll be posting it at the end of the video, is the seven criteria. Matter of fact, I'll run through it right now. Number one, you got to have a covenant with Jesus Christ. Number two, you got to forgive every offense. Number three, you can't practice what God calls sin. If man calls something sin, man say it's okay and God call it sin, okay? You got to control what comes out of your mouth. You got to be obedient in worship with tithes, okay? You must serve God in prayer, amen? And you must be in pursuit of the will of God. I posted some videos on that of somebody else's Facebook. I mean, I posted the videos on Facebook of some other teachings that really say the same thing, and that's where I got it from. See, I've been studying this stuff for 45 years. Anyway, but again, the reasoning behind this isn't control. The fact that my father got my mother pregnant, brought me here, does not exempt me. I have a choice. That's what God told me when I told him I didn't ask to come here. He said, well, you here now. So I decided to take the best of it. I said, well, I might as well take it. Then I got upset, and then I directed my anger at Satan. Now, how do you get back at Satan? By winning souls. I had a chance when I was working at Wayne County. There came a day when they offered me, Christ offered me an opportunity to come back to work for them. And in the particular field that I was going to head in, I would have made more money than the county executive. No doubt about it. But I was part of a group that we helped young men that were on their way to, some of them went to prison for life, but they're not going to hell. Going to prison for murder, but they're not going to hell. Why? Because God delivered them. God blessed them in that situation. Some of them make it up. That stacks up with God. That's more important. See? And like I said, I've had many situations where I could have let pride take advantage. I could have let be concerned with how demeaning I was being treated. But I didn't. But then fortunately by that time, I was at the place where, you know, I don't care what you think. I only care what God thinks. Because in the end, he wins. And because I win with him. And that's what this thing is about. Whenever you get it, when God is giving what they say, when the devil starts messing, that's because God is starting to bless. When the God starts blessing, the devil starts messing. So it don't just happen. It don't just happen. He tried to push you out the way. He tried to get you to step out of the way of your own blessing. Because he know if it get past you, You're going to have to wait through the next round, see, and go through the challenges. But this is all about developing your spirit man. This is not just a bunch of rules and regulations to make life hard. You are here. You are a human. You're a spirit man. You have to learn the way of God. This is not religion, because believe me, when Jesus come back, all these other creations of Satan, they're going to be gone. There won't be more. It'll be one only. That's the other thing. You gotta accept in your mind the kingdom of God is not a democracy. You don't get to vote. You only get to vote to do the will of God. You can vote not to do, but you got to deal with the consequences. When they say election have consequences, who you choose to rule your life, that's on you. That's on you. As for me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. We going to serve the Lord. See, pride. You know, I mean, this black thing, you know, and black people in the Bible, the true Israel. Listen, tell you what, try that stuff with the devil. See if he care about the color of your skin. Because one thing Satan know about these rules concerning prayer, because he will provoke you in those areas to block your ability to pray. See, see, he understands this stuff. He believes it. The Bible, Jesus said, the Bible, James, I believe, it said the devils believe. So what, you know, and that's the other thing. People believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus. I challenge anybody, whatever you believe, to ask God. I'm not going to even get into what name you call him. I don't care what, because before I got to the revelation of where he was, I gave him a list of names. I listed every name I knew. And I asked him to just show me him his way. And that's what happened November 16, 1976. So I'm confident that he will do just that. Because he loves you. Now, when I say love you, you got to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. That's the kind of love. And you read that slowly so you'll see that he is willing to be patient with your growth process. And that won't stop him from meeting your need, because you haven't grown to the place that apostle so-and-so is. No. See, listen, they don't just get there overnight, and they go through some fire to get there. Believe me, the things that what God told me was the result of what I have had to go through in the last 5 years. Believe me. And what God looks at when you go through, like James says, James, the brother of Jesus, said, look at it with joy. Rejoice. That takes some real submission to God to get there. And that's what it is. It's just looking up to God. Say, okay, God, we just always know you're going through it with him. You're not going through it by yourself. And you want to hear him explain to you how you should manage your spirit. Because like I say, it's a lot of times. I mean, me and my wife, we ain't argued in 40 years. Why? Because the Lord taught me how to shut up. Okay? Hey, I only have to say something if it's illegal or immoral according to God. Other than that, it don't matter. It don't matter. Because marriage is part of the training period. It's part of the training process. It teaches you. It's like two people handcuffed together trying to get somewhere. They got to walk together. What the word say, can two walk together except they agree? And it's a challenge. Particularly for men, because they're like, I'm the man, I'll run this thing. Now, if you're the man, you got to take the devil out. That's what you to do. So you got to learn how to pray. You got to accept the reality that there is a devil and that you do have a power, and then you got to attack him. What would you do if a man was jumping on him? You jump on him. Well, that's the same thing. You jump on the devil. You ain't got to do nothing but speak like, punk, get out of my house. You don't even have to speak loud like, punk, get out of my house. In the name of Jesus, I command you to get out of my house. You know? That's all right. And we're supposed to pray for each other. Pray for each other. And then, okay, we're just getting started on this, because this pride thing, I mean, I don't think there's anything else really that Satan used to deceive people, because it pretty much connects to everything that he uses in the way of deception. But again, he can only do that to people vacant of the word. They don't have no knowledge of the word. They don't have a response. They don't know what the words say. They don't do what the words say. And again, they don't know the promises of God. God don't make vain promises. He don't promise nothing he can't deliver on. I can tell you, believe me. I mean, you're going to go through some challenges. You're supposed to want to go through some challenges, but go through them prayerfully. Prayerfully is just talking to God, asking him to guide you. Show him. And like I say, read the word, read the word, read the word, read the word. Don't worry about what you don't understand, what you do understand. He's going to make you understand what you need to understand, and he's only going to hold you accountable for what you understand, not what you don't understand. I can't get away with what y'all can get away with. And while you're at it, hit the bag. Ask God for everything. Some guy, I need a job. I need a new car, I need a new house, and I need it all debt-free. We're talking God. God can move some people. I mean, listen, God does some things in the Bible. Believe me, he's the same God. And people just don't believe him at that level. But anyway, so you might be new. You might need renewing. Either way it go, we're going to do this right here, right now. And this is... Look at this love, this level of love. This is all it takes to begin this journey. Just say this prayer with me. Say, Father God, I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe he came. I believe he was born of a virgin. I believe he came and lived a holy life, died on the cross for my sin. And Father God, I ask forgiveness for my sin, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And Father, I thank you. I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that you are my God. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And I am saved and I am forgiven. I mean, you can't beat that. And it's amazing. That's it. Then if you haven't been, you get baptized because it's an outward expression of an inward turn and an inward change. Okay? Find your church. Go get baptized. Don't get tripped up because people say, they didn't baptize you in Jesus' name. Listen, person being baptized has to believe in Jesus' name. The person could baptize you and not say nothing. The person being baptized has to believe in Jesus' name. It don't matter what they say. They're putting you in the water, okay? But you got to have a witness. Tell somebody you love Jesus. And remember this, prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. And if you figure that out, you'll always be successful in prayer. Shalom. See you next week.
It's your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the street. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight. You look around, you need that love.
That love, I got a heavenly plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I got a heavenly plug.
I quit hustling. Slanging them drugs, you ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up. Now I've been getting up from God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait.
And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip, but God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way and have the same faith, but you gotta change. Cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day, but he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love.
That love, I gotta have a plug, I gotta have a plug.
Got many blessings and they from them above. Because
I gotta have a plug, I gotta have a plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.